I think that's my great love, you know. So I was able to, as much as I could, get it from the horse's mouth, you know. So there's interviews with Peter Fonda about Easy Rider, or Brian Wilson about Pet Sounds, or even Susan Calso is in there.
And if someone else were attempting this who hadn't acquired those interviews, it wouldn't be the same. I mean, you've made it sort of a historical document of that era. It's great fun to read interviews that you did with members of the Brady Bunch or with David Cassidy and members of the Monkees, because at least in terms of David Cassidy and some members of the Monkees, those people are gone. So you have it here for posterity. We really get a lot of information about what went on, so it's really nice to have that. And Laugh-In, I mean, how can we not talk about Laugh-In? I mean, this was a huge kind of turning point, I think, in television. This was something really different. Tell me about Laugh-In and what that did at that time for television. And it certainly spawned the careers of some very, very successful entertainers from that. It might have even been a forerunner to things like Saturday Night Live, you know, that we had this sort of outrageous comedy.
Yeah, well, you're right. It did launch the career of Goldie Hawn, who's still at it, and Lily Tomlin. You know, these are people. These are two examples of people who really, you know, their careers really took off, and that's where we were first introduced to them. And George Schlatter was the producer and creator of Laugh-In, and he credits a lot of his inspiration to Ernie Kovacs, who, when you look at the old, 50s black and white Ernie Kovacs TV programs, he was really pushing the envelope. He was really, you know, doing crazy stuff that, you know, Jack Benny or Red Skelton were not doing, you know, and would never do. And so Schlatter kind of picked up the mantle from Ernie Kovacs, and you're absolutely right. It did pave the way for programs like Saturday Night Live, the irreverence, and just the, like, the madcap spirit. And but it was a great program. They went off script quite a lot. They used to do these things called runners, where they would Schlatter would just say, "Keep the tape rolling, and when you're done your skit, just say whatever comes into your head, or try variations on the line." And they would just do crazy stuff. So when I was a little boy watching Laugh-In, I was noticing, like, wow, like, they really are breaking each other up, like, and it's kind of crazy. And but another thing was that there, Laugh-In, Larry was you might remember, was had a lot of double entendre, and I was just old enough to get
it.
So, yeah, and it's funny because Ruth Buzzi, she's in Groovy, and she said, well, a cast member, and she said that, you know, the censors would always come, you know, they'd read the script, they'd see a run through, and because the world was changing so rapidly during that period, the network censors really didn't get a lot of the double entendre. It would be over their head. So Laugh-In was able to get away with murder at that time.
And certainly Ruth Buzzi's old lady character is one of those that really made an impression on a lot of people. It was always fun to see that. Artie Johnson, Jonathan Winters, you know, all kinds of fun people. And Joan Worley. I can't think of all of them, but I know there were just a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. And then the guest stars they had, I mean, like, everybody wanted to be on it. I mean, Bing Crosby, William F. Buckley, you know, Raquel Welch, you know, John Wayne was on the show. He got goaded into being on the show because I do remember this specifically. At the end of every program, Dan Rowan and Dick Martin would wrap things up, and then Dick Martin would always say, "And next week we're going to have John Wayne," and then Dan Rowan would say, "Like, we're not going to have John Wayne. Don't say that," you know. And it was just a running joke. And sure enough, John Wayne made himself available. He said, like, he called their bluff, and he was on the show a lot, and he had a great time. But what's amazing about that, Larry, is that John Wayne was so conservative, you know, and that show had such liberal, sensibilities, you know. But, you know, laughter, art is always our common ground, and so the old Duke was on there, and he had a blast. That's what Ruth Buzzi said. She said he was a lovely man, and he had so much fun doing it.
Always good to hear things like that. One last thing I want to ask you is your relationship to comic books and Groovy. I noticed that there is the cover of a Partridge Family comic book. What is going on in the world of comic books? Do we still have television shows turned into comics like they were back in the 40s, 50s, 60s especially, and into the 70s? We had, you know, Beatles comic books, and we had Three Stooges comic books. Is that still being done, or has that sort of faded out and superheroes are the thing?
Well, yeah, that was a great old tradition. I mean, they still do it, you know, like they'll always do like Star Trek or something, you know, or X-Files or something. They'll always like bring out comic books. And of course, the fact that all comic book superheroes are made into movies, it's almost like, you know, I would think a kid, you know, who doesn't know the history could think like, oh, look, they have a comic book based on the X-Men, you know. You know, but really, of course, that's where it began. But it was a great old tradition, and as you said, you know, they going back, they had, you know, Roy Rogers and Gene Autry comic books, and they had Dean Martin, DC Comics, who did Superman. They had a Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis comic book, and when the team split up, they just turned it into a Jerry Lewis comic book, because their theory was, you know, go with the comedian.
Sure.
Dean was the singer, the go with Jerry, you know. So there were Bob Hope and Jerry Lewis comic books into the 60s, maybe early 70s in Jerry's case. But no, it was comic books definitely reflected, you know, the changing times. The mainstream comics were slow to reflect them, because it was the old guard. It was the World War II generation that was editing, you know, those books. But the underground comics that came along with, you know, R. Crumb being the master of that medium, you know, they were really reflecting the times. They were really adults only, you know. But even the mainstream comics, you know, Wonder Woman turned Groovy, and, you know, and there was a comic called Hawk and Dove, which were two superheroes. It came out in 68, right during the debate of, are you, you know, pro-escalation or pro-withdrawal regarding the Vietnam War. So this is like ripped from the headlines, Hawk and the Dove, two brothers. One was, you know, aggressive, and the other said, you know, we have to settle our differences, you know, by talking, you know. And so it was an interesting time, and comics was a part of it.
Just wonderful history here. And we've only really kind of just skim the surface of all the stuff that is in this book. There's so much more we haven't even gotten to, so people are just going to have to buy the book, I guess. Where can people find Groovy, subtitled When Flower Power Bloomed in Pop Culture?
Well, thanks for asking, Larry. My publisher's website is tomorrows.com, T-W-O Morrows. But you can also find it on Amazon.com, Target.com, Walmart, BarnesandNoble.com. It's on all those ordering websites, and then a lot of local mom and pop shops. You know, you can actually go to your local bookstore and ask them to order it for you if you're not web savvy. But it's pretty easy to find, you know. And I'm hoping that people get a kick out of it.
I think they will. I think it's a lot of fun, especially people who grew up during that era and want to take a look back and maybe reminisce about what they had in their childhood. And then people of today, young people of today, can look back and kind of get an idea of what was going on at that time. It's really a great, you know, sort of time capsule you put together for anyone who has an interest in that groovy era.
Thank you, Larry. It was fun. It was a fun, giant puzzle, you know.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next book, whatever that may be. We've got Monsters and Groovy, so I'm sure you've got something else up your sleeve.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'm just trying to find a publisher, maybe we'll be talking in another couple years, and that'll be the third visit. You know, like I said, I never get invited back, so, yeah.
Good quality books, you always get re-invited, so that's no problem.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Mark.
I really appreciate your time, and good luck with everything you've got going, too.
Mark Voger, author of Groovy, subtitled When Flower Power Bloomed in Pop Culture. is published by Tomorrow's Publishing, that's spelled TWOMORROWS, as in the number 2, and is available everywhere books are sold.